The mitzvah in this week's parsha that we're going to discuss, the pasuk actually references two different things. One refers to an issue of choshen mishpat, of overcharging and being dishonest when it comes to amounts and how you charge money. That's not our discussion right now. We're going to look at the Sefer HaChinuch and mitzvah Shin Lamed Ches, and he's going to teach us something that I don't think we necessarily realized was its own mitzvah. Perhaps maybe we thought as a part of Bihashvicha Kamocha, or you know, just being a nice person. But so let's see what the Sefer HaChinuch says. Shelo lahonos echad miYisrael bedvarim. It is aser midaoraisa to hurt another Jew with words. We're not talking about Lashon Hara. You all know you can't speak Lashon Hara. It's a different pasuk, a different parsha. Kolomar shelo namar liYisrael dvarim shiachivehu biyatzruuhu. To say something to another Jew that will pain him. And there's nothing he can do about it. And he can't, he'll be harmed.
And hurt. Yeah.
Okay, what is it? Onas Dvarim. Yes, Onas Dvarim. Ubeperush Amru Zecharon Levracha. The Gemara in Bava Metzia. This entire topic is essentially one daf in Masachas Bava Metzia. Okay, so so the Gemara says.
We said that it's not just like a sin that we said it's not just mean.
It's
actual mean.
It's like actual sin. So it's onas dvarim, ketzad. So the Gemara gives examples. Imhaya bal tshuva, if the person is a Baal Tshuva, whether that means classical, like in the classical sense of a Baal Tshuva, they weren't religious, now they're religious, or they did an Avera, they were negligent in a particular Avera, and now they have repented. Lo yomar lo, zechor ma'asecha rishon, ah, don't you remember when you were younger, and you went here, and you ate that, and you said this, and you dressed this way? It's not nice to them, it brings up something that is painful to them. Chayav chala'im be'ein alav, lo yomar lo kederach shomer chaveirav li'yov. And if the person is in pain, don't speak to him like the way Eov's friends spoke to them. Halo yirasicha kisilsecha. Eov's friends, if you learn Sefer Eov, were very harsh to him. Ah, this is happening to you because you did an Avera, and maybe you weren't such a good person. That's onas dvarim. Don't go and tell people terrible things are happening to them because you did Averos, and Hashem is punishing you. Don't tell people that. He says, if you see a person who's a donkey driver and he's looking for grain to feed his donkey, lo yomar lahem, don't tell the person, l'chu eitzal ploni, go to this in the store, this guy sells this. No, he doesn't. Meaning, like a practical joke. It's usser to do something, to use your words, and the Chofetz Chaim writes as well, in the Chofetz HaShmira, you know, in writing or even like hinting with your body, it's usher to do something that will be embarrassing to other person, to make a joke of them. You can't set up a person in a practical joke that will publicly embarrass them. It is usher midaraisa. And then, this is not our discussion right now, but you can't walk into a store and pretend like you want to buy something and you have no intention to buy it. For example, you can't go into a store saying that you're looking around, checking out the price, seeing if it fits, talking to the person who's running the store, and then you have all the intentions in the world to go home and buy it on Amazon. That is onas dvarim.
Is it only applicable with like small business stores, not like if you look like an app?
It does not matter. If you are taking the time and giving off the impression you are interested in it, potentially, but really you have no intention.
What if you're in like a big store and the workers there literally don't own it and they just don't pay?
So what? Lo yomer tagar bekama chafetz zevahu einu rotz nikach. You cannot ask somebody, how much is this? And you're not interested in buying it at all.
But let's say if it's like a big department store, if like you get online anyway, you're still giving the store business. Like you're just okay in terms of like that.
Oh, but you're going to go buy it online for us. Meaning you're
like,
going to buy
it. Let's say you go to like Bloomingdale's.
But you're going to buy it online at Bloomingdale's.
Yeah.
That's fine. You're going to buy it from them anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's say, this goes on like embarrassing someone. Let's say someone's like lying to you and you know that they're lying and you want to confront them.
Yeah.
But that's ultimately going to
Okay, so we're gonna talk about how to respond in a second. We'll get to that soon. V'alzene amar, it says in this week's parsha, lo sonu ish es amiso. You shall not afflict your friend. So, what's the reason for this? I think we can all intuit the shorash hamitzvah sefer achinach here. But he says something interesting that we're gonna speak about for a moment. Shorash mitzvah zu yadua. The reason for this mitzvah is obvious. Shalom, it is to make peace amongst people. Begadol hashalom shebo habracha matsuya ba'olam v'kasha hamachlokas. So great is peace that it is what allows blessing to be in the world, and machlokas is very difficult for the world. Kama klolos v'kama taklos tulios ba. How many curses and how many terrible things come because of machlokas and people treating each other badly. Now, I just want to elaborate for a moment on this sentence where he says that shalom is so great that all of the bracha is found because of shalom. What does that mean? So there is a mishnah. In fact, it is the last mishnah in Shas. The last mishnah in Shas says that shalom is a kli. Shalom is a vessel that holds bracha. What does that mean? So the Netziv has a perish on the Sifri, and it's called the Emek HaNetziv. He didn't title it that way. When the family published it after he passed away, they called it the Emek HaNetziv. So he says the following thing: Mefarish Hashem Yivarech Hasamo Bashalom. Right? We all know that line. Or Hashem should bless us with peace. V'lo Ksiv Hashem Yitain La'amo Shalom. It doesn't say Hashem should give us peace. It says Hashem should bless us with peace. Elahachi Perusha. This is what it means. Shivarech Hasamo b'chol minei brachos. That Hashem blesses us with so many blessings all the time. Hashem is ready to give us parnasa and refuah and shidduchim and happiness and all types of wonderful things in our lives. V'shia ba'otzer shalom. However, the bracha, the shefa that's coming from Hashem, you need something to catch it with, right? If a person walks into the middle of Manhattan and starts throwing $100 bills all over the place, so that's great, and that's fine. But if you don't have anything to catch that money with, is that going to do you any good? It's not going to be helpful at all. The kli, the vessel, the cup that holds bracha is shalom. If you don't have shalom in your life, then Hashem can send you all of the blessings in the world, but they will simply slip through your fingers, says the Netziv. Ein kol habrachos klum. All the brachos in the world are meaningless. Shein kli lahachil koach habrachos. If there is no vessel to contain the brachos, shelo yishtafchu bisabchu l'rachalil, that they should turn into bad. Chas v'shalom, ela shalom. Only shalom can do it. V'chein amar machzik yidei chavero biros Hashem kol hayom, v'in eino rab b'shel chavero. So the Netziv says as follows. Now, again, it's literal and also metaphysical. Metaphysically, Hashem is prepared to give you all of the brachos that you want. But if you are a person who has machlokas and causes people pain and is not a person of shalom, Hashem is sending it all your way, but it's not sticking to you. Why? Because you have nothing to hold that bracha. Shalom is the kli that holds it. But also, in a real way, you could have a family who has beautiful wealth and, you know, nobody is sick, but, you know, the siblings don't get along. And the two uncles don't talk to each other. And, you know, there's fighting, and there's bickering, and there's scheming, and there's complaining, and every simcha is awkward and uncomfortable. Nobody can get along. All of that goodness in your life, is it worth it? Meaning, all of that, all those nice things you have, does it matter? You're so miserable and bitter all the time and fighting, and you can't talk to your siblings, and children don't get along with parents, and parents don't get along with one another. Like, what was the point of all those good things? If there's no shalom, then all of the bracha in the world around you becomes meaningless. You don't enjoy anything in life. You can't enjoy the bracha because you're bitter and you're sad and you're fighting all the time. So what is that going to get you? Let's see what the chinuch says. Medina hamitzah. So that's the shor. So again, the sefer chinuch is adding something important. It's not just you can't be mean. If there is no shalom in your life, then everything else becomes meaningless. And if you're a person who hurts people with their words and says nasty things and makes fun of people and picks on people and tears people down, so then you're taking shalom out of this world. Medina ha-mitzvah, what are the laws of this mitzvah? Kama zharos v'kama ziruzin, how many warnings? How careful she is, arno zichrono l'racha, Chazal tell us, binyan zeh, regarding the shalo l'hakiv habrios b'shun davar, do not pain other people in anything. V'lo l'vei shama, do not embarrass people. V'hafligu b'davar zeh, they were extreme in this. Ad she'amru, shlo yisla einav al ha-mekach b'shash ein lo damim. To the extent that you shouldn't go into the store and start looking around for things, but you don't have the money to pay for it. Because why? It is not nice. It is hurtful to the proprietor of that store.
But
it's correct. So the Chafetz Chaim says it doesn't only have to be dvarim. It can be in actions as well. What?
It's symbolic.
Symbolic. Okay.
V'ray
li zaher, you have to be careful. Sha'afilu b'remez dvarav lo ye nishma chiruf ne adam. Even in hinting, nothing should shame another person. Nothing should shame another person. Ki ha-torek pida harbe ba'onas dvarim. The Torah is very, very, very careful about onas dvarim. Lefi shehu davar kasha ma'od l'leif habrios. It is very hard for the heart of a person to be made fun of and to have negative things said about them. It's very nice when you are the one making the joke and you have that sharp comment and you put the person in their place and you have that one-liner that really, you know, makes you look really funny and really sharp. Fantastic. And what about on the other end? The person who's on the receiving end of your really, really funny, sharp, witty comment that made you look really, really popular in front of your friends. And the person now who's crying inside and is hurtful, is hurting because you made fun of something about them that they're very sensitive about, or you touched on something that they don't want people to know about, and that is now, is it worth it? Is it worth being really popular and having that really funny line and having that one, that last line that put the person in their place? Was it worth it now that that person is in pain? No, it's not worth it. Lefi shehu davar kashema odolev habrios. V'harbe b'nei adam yakpidu aleihem yosim min hamamon. He says, honestly, people are more concerned about their self-esteem and how people perceive them than money. People would pay money to not be embarrassed. And that's how far the Torah cares about how we speak about one another. Kmo she'amru zal, gedola onas dvarim ma'onas mamon. It is worse to be harming someone with words than it is with money. Sheba onas dvarim ha'omer v'yareisa mishem me'al kacha. When it comes to onas mamon, it doesn't say you should have yiras Hashem. But when it comes to onas dvarim, when it comes to saying hurtful words, it says you should have yiras Hashem. So the Maharsha, in his commentary on the Gemara in Bava Metzia, and this daf in Bava Metzia is where all these halachas are discussed, so look what he says about this. Why is it that by onas dvarim, it says, v'yareisa melokacha, you should have yiras Hashem? Why is that? Since what he says. Shneamar bo v'yareisa melokacha. Yira debalav hani ta'ame delakaman dezeg kugufo, v'zelonitan lahashivan dekamar hacha degadol nas dvarim yosiv v'yareisa melokacha. Fine. That he's quoting the Gemara. V'yesh lefaresh. He says, I would like to explain. Midichsiv bei v'yareisa, it says yushav yiras Hashem, v'vedavar hamasar lebochen levavos levad. Havay gadol me'anas mamon. He says, what's the difference? If I overcharge you in business, if I'm dishonest with money, well then, anyone with two eyes can see what? That I did something that was wrong, right? The phone cost $1,000, but I'm charging you $1,500. That's wrong. I can see openly that was clearly a dishonest, hurtful thing to do.
Yeah, what about
profit?
What? What about profit?
You can't be within a certain amount. It's a 1/6. You can't charge more than 1/6 of the going rate. But that's on us, mama.
Price?
Of the going range of rate for that item. Yeah. So if the phone is sold between $800 and $1,000 on the market, that's the range it's sold for, I can't charge $1,500 for it because that's more than 1/6 more than the going rate. That's obvious to anybody that you can't do that. He says, but onos dvarim, it's Masr livchon levavos levad. Only a person's heart can tell you was that thing meant to be intentional, or was that just a, you know, like a side comment? Right? Sometimes a person will say something to another, to a friend or somebody else they know, and it can be misconstrued. Do they mean to say the hurtful thing? Were they, do they not know what they were saying? Were they not sensitive to what was going on? It's only something that is bochen lavavo, so your heart can tell you. To havalei davar hamasul lahakir gam habrios, to zeh hashava kavod ve'eved ve'kavod kono, v'zeh hashava kavod. He says that that's why it doesn't say that you should be afraid of your friend. You have to be afraid of Hashem. Because only Hashem is going to know when you made that comment about, you know, you see somebody, you know, you see somebody sees another person and they have a new article of clothing. And they say to them a comment about either that indicates that, ah, you paid a lot of money for that and it was too fancy for you, or, you know, it's really a shmata and it's not such a nice thing you got. And you make a comment about somebody's thing that they got, article of clothing, car, phone, whatever it is. Now, from the outside, I say, oh, what do you mean? They're just, I'm just interested in you. I just asked a question, right? We do this all the time, right? What are you talking about? I wasn't being mean. I was just asking a question, right? What's wrong with that? Who knows if you were just asking a question? Hashem. V'yareisam elokecha. Onas dvarim is so subtle that Hashem will know exactly if you were just asking a question or you were trying to, you know, nudge that person, make them feel bad. Hashem knows that. The money thing, a human being can figure that out. That's obvious. But when it comes to us dvarim, you are walking a line where you cannot say, what's the big deal? I was just, what, it's not, isn't it true? You used to be not from, you used to eat lobster. Why can't I talk about that, right? It's not Lashon Hara, it's, you know, everybody knows that. Well, what's the big deal? Hashem knows exactly what you were thinking when you asked that question. You cannot hide from Hashem. V'yarei semelokecha. Okay? Yeah.
What if it's like the opposite way around, that like someone said something that like they didn't mean to be like mean, but it's still hurt the other person's feelings?
So if it objectively was something that was not an abnormal situation, something that could be construed to be something that was mean, so then, okay, person was sensitive, you should apologize, you know, try to make it up to them and try to fix it. If it was something that, you know, really, you know, was like on the border, then it could be. You have to be careful. You have to be extra careful. You have to think not once, but twice, but even three times before you talk. So then he says, "V'lo yeh be'efshar lechtov prat kol dvarim sheish batzar albiros." Says the Sefer HaChinuch, I can't give you a list of every nasty thing you could say to another person. We could be here all day. Aval kol achad sarach lezar kafi masha yira. Every Jew has to be as careful according to what they can see. Ki Hashem baruch hu Hashem hu yodea. Hashem knows all of your steps and all of the hints that you make. You only have eyes. Hashem can see your heart. And the rabbis teach us in the Midrashim how to be careful about this. And most of this is found in the fourth chapter above Metziah. Now, the question was asked before. What, so I have to let people walk all over me? And if somebody, you know, is being mean to me, I just have to sit there and take it, right? Christians say that you turn the other cheek, right? That's what it says in their Bible, right? That somebody slaps you, so you turn the other cheek. The Torah say that if somebody is, you know, walking all over you, you have to take it? No. He says, V'ulam lefi ha-doma, ein b'mash mishim ba yisrael echa lehiska leharshia l'tzar chaver b'dvar marayim. If a Jew comes to you and starts harming you and paining you with bad words, shelo yaneu ha-shamea, doesn't mean that you can't answer back. A person is not meant to be a stone who sits there and takes it. And on top of that, he says, if you are quiet while someone's attacking you, then what's going to happen? People are going to think that they're correct, right? If I sit there and take it, then maybe that's an indication that what they're saying about me is true. So he says, with the MS, lo tetzaveh haTorah liyos haAdam ke'even shosek l'merchapav k'mot l'mevarchav. The Torah does not require you to be quiet in a stone if somebody is abusing you. Aval tetzaveh usanu shnisrachek min ha'midah azos. M'shalo naschel l'skotet v'l'charef min ha'adam. What it wants us to do is to distance ourselves and not to get into a fight. V'chein yinatza adam mikol zeh. Ki mi she'enu ba'al ketata lo yechafu b'nei adam. What the Torah is telling you, generally, if you are a person who doesn't get into fights, people are not going to pick on you. Generally, nice people are not going to be picked on. This is just a good rule in life. If you don't start up with people, people are probably not going to start up with you. It's just a good rule in life. If you don't, if you're a person who is generally agreeable and kind and sensitive and pleasant, you'll probably be in a good position most of your life. Except for foolish people. And if it's a foolish person who's starting up with you, then what do you care? You're out of their mind anyway. So in 99% of the cases, you'll be okay. A regular person's not going to start up with you if you're a nice guy. And a foolish person starting up with you, somebody who's out of their mind, so what do you care? They're out of their mind. If someone is coming to attack you, and you have to respond, if somebody does attack you verbally in life, then you need to respond b'ne'imus, calmly, without losing your cool. He says, because if you have anger, you're going to become a fool. So this is the best thing to do. We can learn this. That you are allowed to respond to a fool who is attacking you. The halacha is if somebody comes into your house at night to rob from you and you feel that you're potentially in danger, you're allowed to kill them. Hababa machteras. Come, largo, so. If somebody comes to attack you, the Torah says you are allowed to defend yourself. It happens to work as well, you know, physically as well. If somebody is, you know, if you have a kid and someone's like beating up that kid, kid's allowed to punch back. That's 100% mutter. You're allowed to defend yourself. That's clear here from Sefer HaChinuch. She'ein safek shlo nischai v'adam l'spol nizikin miyad chavero. There is no doubt that one does not have to accept abuse. And this is certainly important as well. You know, sometimes a person is a victim, you know, of physical abuse or emotional abuse. They are in a position where they feel that, well, you know, I kind of just have to take it. They don't stand up for themselves. They're allowed to be told that you are allowed to have a backbone and tell that person no, and you're allowed to physically defend yourself. And he says, "Ulam yesh kas mibnei adam sholach chasidusam kol kach shol yirtzu achnis atzam b'harazu." There are some people who are incredibly pious and they're able to control themselves, but again, that is not for most people. And in most cases, you can defend yourself. So that's on the other end of anas dvarim. Okay, let's just end here and let's just see the words of Rav Hirsch. So we've gone a bunch of times to Rav Hirsch this year already. So let's look at Rav Hirsch in Chorev. This is in section 380. So listen to what he says. He's talking about anas dvarim, but he's talking about, you know, a lot of interesting things related to how we speak. Let's see what he says over here. It says Rav Hirsch, but do not imagine that you can sin only by deeds, that you are law-abiding if you merely refrain from afflicting and oppressing your neighbor by deeds. A person will say, well, I didn't hit him. I didn't steal anything with my hands. I'm a good Jew. From harming a human being by your actions. For also with the word, the fleeting word, the word with which you have been endowed to do great good, can you inflict more injury, strike more surely, destroy happiness and contentment more irreparably than with violent, malignant actions? A harsh word can be worse, says Rav Hirsch, than when it comes to physically harming someone. God has made sensitive man's soul capable of being pained by every harsh touch. Your neshama is a very sensitive tool. It's how you perceive Hashem in this world. And because your neshama is so sensitive, says Rav Hirsch, that's why we are so sensitive to words. What a beautiful understanding of why words are painful. Because words hit the neshama. A fist hits the body. Okay, the body is coarse, it's heavy. It can withstand that. But the neshama is extremely sensitive because it's designed to be a sensitive measuring tool to sense Hashem. And that's why it's so sensitive to words. Yet he, Hashem, created this tender, sensitive instrument so that it may be the holder of the most sacred blessings of the human being, of honor, serenity, respect, love, right? All the things that you feel, of every enjoyment that life can provide, of every worthwhile feeling of happiness, and of every emotion which links man to life and to his fellow man. As long as it exists clear and serene within the human being, meaning the neshama, so long will you remain happy, however hard he may be hit by external events. But once it is wounded and saddened, meaning once your neshama is hurt and its peace is disturbed, then the human being becomes sick and withers like a crushed flower. You should hold sacred man's inner sanctuary. Consider it as God-given soil in which to plant your most beautiful blessings, wisdom and solace, love and kindness. And for this purpose you were given that most noble gift, the Word. What builds up the neshama? How do you plant and make the neshama fertile and let it grow? Is with words. Positive words allows the neshama to expand and to become healthy and to become happy and to become serene. But if you turn into a sharp and lethal weapon, this word, and if you take your words and you don't use them for positive, use them to mow people down, which is destined to bring life and blessings. If you seek pleasure in mocking the inexperienced and less intelligent, make fun of somebody's academically, make fun of somebody, you know, messing up and not doing as well as you did. If you seek pleasure in mocking the inexperienced and less intelligent, in deceiving and embarrassing him, and you get pleasure in tricking people, practical jokes, embarrassing people, instead of teaching and correcting him. If you ridicule the unfortunate whose troubled mind is longing for comfort from your lips and overwhelm him with useless reproaches. If you put your brother to shame in front of others, even for the purpose of correcting him, right? You correct somebody in public, right? You tell, what's wrong with you? How did you, food is terrible, or how come you didn't set the table right, or anything like that. I mean, publicly, you give that person mussar that's embarrassing instead of trying to lift them up. If you degrade your brother's personality by calling him bad names, if with icy scorn and fiery disdain in your barbed words you shoot sharp arrows into your brother's heart and rejoice in his discomfiture, oh then, do not dare to look up to heaven. God sees your brother's heart convulsed by the daggers of your words, frozen under your icy scorn, humiliated under your ridicule. With him, meaning Hashem, the rejected soul will find refuge. To his throne, tears always find the door open. And you, the Almighty, is just. Hashem will give you what you deserve. Youth and maiden of Israel, he's talking to young people. You to whom God's gift is still pure, whose hearts have not hardened, watch your word, keep it pure and devout, so that no heart may bleed, wounded by your word. Be so careful that before you talk, you think, is this going to hurt the person's feelings? Again, above all, watch it in your dealings with the unfortunate, the poor, dependent servants, people who might not have what you have in some respect, intellectually, monetarily, emotionally, family-wise. Unfortunately, this happens in places we don't mean to be mean. You have somebody who is not married, they're dating for a long time, and you make a comment about, you know, when are you going to get married, it's taking so long. You say something that's going to hurt them. They know they're not married. They don't need you to remind them. Or unfortunately, sometimes you have couples who have struggles with infertility, and they don't have children for many, many years. And they're sitting at a Shabbos table, and they're talking about a new stroller, and my kids in this yeshiva, what's with the Rebbe. And again, they don't mean to be mean. You're not a mean person. But you have to be sensitive who's at the table. Who at the table has and doesn't have? And you're talking about, and I went to this trip, and I had, you know, and we went to Dubai, and we flew the, you know, first class, and all these nice things. And the other person at the table is not going anywhere. They don't have that. They don't have those opportunities. You have to be sensitive. Again, you're not being mean, but it is stepping into the realm of onas dvarim. For doubly do they feel the slightest suggestion of scorn. Indeed, their tender heart often feels a sting where you would not suspect one. And above all, he says that sometimes women are more sensitive, the female hearts. And remember the teachings of our wise men who list as prohibited according to the prohibition of ona'a. Now, Rav Hirsch translates ona'a as vexation. What does vexation mean? It means you're causing them to be saddened, to be annoyed, teasing, deceiving, embarrassing, needling, ridiculing, mocking, jesting, with and calling names, and then add graver even than injury by action is vexation by words. The former only affects property, the latter the human being as a whole. The former can be repaired, the latter cannot. The tears of the offended find easy access to the throne of the Almighty. Fear him, for the eye sees. The Gemara says, Kol hasharos ninalim, all of the gates are sealed in Shemayim, chutz meishare ona, except for the gate that the tefillah of the person who's on the receiving end of ona, davin su Hashem. So if you cause ona to another person, and that person turns to Hashem and says, Hashem, this person harmed me, that is very dangerous for the person who said those words. Elsewhere it said, he who puts his neighbor to shame in public is like a murderer. Do you not see his blood flow? Three sinners descend into Gehenna and do not rise again. He who commits adultery, he who puts his neighbor to shame in public, and he who calls his neighbor names, nickname, harmful nicknames. Though all the gates of heaven may be closed to prayer, no gate is ever closed to the tear of the injured heart. So, Rav Hirsch and the Sefer HaChinuch are warning us to be not just sensitive, to be extremely sensitive. I know that everybody here is not going to be a person who says mean things and tries to, you know, bring people down and tries to hurt them. That we need to be aware on the surface. But Rav Hirsch is highlighting something even more sensitive, and that's to be aware, who are we sitting with? And we're talking about certain topics, and we're talking about certain subjects, and we're talking about certain experiences. And if you would think for a moment and realize that there are people at the table who can't have those experiences, who can't relate to that, and are pained because they do not have access to what so many other people have access to, you have to be so sensitive. What are the topics we talk about? What are the things that we bring up? What are the things that are going to put somebody in an uncomfortable situation that they're not able to relate, or they are hurting over that thing that they're lacking in? All of this falls under the rubric of Avonas Dvarim. Okay?